Hey besties, you might be expecting us to talk about the Oscars this week because crazy shit went down at the Oscars this week. Unfortunately, due to Valerie and I being overseas, we recorded a couple of episodes like back during Hanukkah break. So this week's episode is one of those episodes. And in this episode, we joke about like, how funny if like some like absolute cornerstone of pop culture emerges this week and we're just not talking about it and acknowledging it. Don't worry, we will. We'll talk about it next time. Sucks for us that this is the week that chose to be chaos, but sometimes life just be like that, you know? Anyway, enjoy the episode, and perhaps sometime in the future, very soon, we will let you know what we thought about this year's Oscars. Okay, bye!
I just have to say, I'm like cracking up. Shoshana sent me this voice note earlier, and I was like, I'll just use that as the intro. But the idea that she would be like, how were we gonna know that crazy stuff was gonna happen this week when like it was the Oscars? Like, of course. Anyway, our planning's not that good.
Okay, let me scroll down to our discussion.
What was I going to say? But yeah, the wilderness TikTok one, it's crazy because it's all these people, specifically women, talking about how they were like snatched out of their beds and like totally, like it was totally unexpected. And like then they weren't able to like contact their parents for like X number of days. And like it's like a crazy
that
system.
That can't be legal. That's wild.
Yeah, it's totally crazy.
Wait, I said to write, kids.
One of my earliest gay experiences.
That movie's gay.
Yeah, for sure.
So gay.
Totally.
What movie? Richard
Cadet Kelly.
I mean, I feel like it holds up.
No, Cadet Kelly. Like it's the homoeroticism. Crazy.
Yeah.
Out of this world.
Okay, I'm gonna do a clap.
Yeah, do it. Hopefully that picks up.
For what?
On the mic. So that I can line up the sound.
Ah, wait, do you want to do a clap at the same time?
Can I do one too?
Yeah.
Get ready.
One, two, three.
Nice.
Good job.
That went way better than I thought.
It's like we talked about this last time we had to do that, but there's this thing the on TikTok claps. Of like, yeah, the have you seen these on TikTok?
What?
Intuition claps. But everyone like closes their eyes. And then you just have to feel the intuition in the room of like when like the energies of when the other people are going to clap hands. And it's like twins do it and it's like on every time. Like it's crazy.
They just know.
They just know. They're faking it somehow. I don't understand.
Don't have a child because your TikTok and Instagram. Like,
I'm already on baby TikTok. It's all
babies.
Mine's all cats and lesbians.
Mine's all babies and I don't even have a baby.
You just love them.
The off-brand Crocs.
What?
The off-brand Crocs that they wear.
So good.
Which are probably way more expensive than Crocs. Like.
If anyone else had seen this movie, that would make a great Halloween costume to dress in like the little like white tank top and then denim shorts and the Crocs.
I was just impressed. I don't know if you saw it. Like every scene, they changed color of the tank top.
Yeah.
Like it'd be like a blue tank top, a white. I'm like, where are these children changed? Like, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
They're like, let's like. It got a little dirty.
Right. My cousin came to sleep over and he wore the same clothes. He like went to his D&D hog.
Yeah.
And then he came to my house. He slept in the same clothes and then he got up and he wore the same clothes the next day. It was very efficient.
Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night in like a cold sweat and I just have a bunch of pop culture moment ideas. and I type them into my phone.
That's funny.
My game is fuck, marry, kill. Mom, twin one, twin two.
I came up with a really funny game based on the term the man, the myth, the legend.
Uh-huh.
So the game is man, myth, or legend. And you have three people and you have to decide which one is a regular human being, which one doesn't exist, and which one is like a god.
Nice. It's a good game.
That's a great game. Well, I'm playing it right now.
Like, right? Like, who's just like a regular Joe? Who's like the best? Like, who is like the mythical creature and who like is an actual myth? Like, doesn't exist.
Okay. Which one of us? Do it with the three of us.
Oh, no.
Oh, for sure.
Man, myth, legend.
Oh, that's so nice.
I think
I'm
it works.
Flattered.
I'm upset.
That you're not
what did you get?
The myth?
That I'm not. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to exist.
But I think it makes sense because, like, with Jewish memes only, it's like, who are you really? You know? Yeah. Do you know what we're supposed to do with batteries in this country?
Yes. there have been extensive threads on Secret Jerusalem about recycling batteries.
Shimshon Lashansky. He reviews a recycling plant.
Do you know about his he starts every single review with a question. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I talk about this all the time because it's not just a question. He like he sort of like, I don't know, like he sort of banters that he like negs on the restaurant. He's like, did you expect to get a really shitty sandwich? Like,
why do they bring out cold food when I ordered a hot thing?
Yeah, like it's it's always like he always like slightly negs the restaurant now. Yeah. It's so, and it's recent. It's like in the past, I don't know, a few months.
I had Joe and him are on WhatsApp, like, of course, right? Because he invited him to the falafel, whatever, crawl. And I had Joe ask him like what's with the question, and he's like, he's a real content guy. He's like, it's because of engagement. When I ask a question, like, engagement is higher, so I ask questions. He like follows his likes, he follows his comments. Good, he's really on top.
I don't do that.
Content dude.
Wow. Yeah,
I really don't do that. I think it's also like because when you're in Facebook groups, questions like come up differently.
And you, people can, it's like it's an algorithm answers, thing. Yeah, for sure. But you curate your Instagram stuff. Like, you are really good about pinning the funny comments because I hate reading garbage. And you're always you curate them for me.
I just pin comments that make me laugh or where I've written something funny in the replies. So I pin the top comment, which is like me being funny right underneath it.
That's funny.
You also just reminded me that I wanted to get Eggs Benedict from Mr. Bra. So I'm going to maybe go after this and get like afternoon Eggs Benny.
That's bold.
It's after really... this and after we record another podcast.
Yes.
Afternoon hollandaise.
Okay, so we have a lot of things to do up here at the top. Friends, focus in.
I'm sorry, Afternoon Hollandaise is such a good band name.
That is a great
band. It is a good, actually, yeah, it's a good band name.
Hello, Jerusalem. We are
Afternoon Hollandaise.
I have to text Claire. That's really good.
I'll take a shirt that says Afternoon Hollandaise.
A crop top?
A crop top, yeah. Okay, so number one, just so you all know,
just for
we
fun.
Gave this disclaimer, I guess it wasn't even in the last podcast, we're recording these out of order.
Yeah,
we're recording this in January, so that because Shoshana and I are not going to be in the same place, and because of that, we have a very special guest today, our lovely friend Rachel. Can I say your last name?
Do you care? Totally.
Rachel Falber.
Nice.
Is one of our good friends. And is married to someone we go to school with. I would say Rachel is really the better half.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I really appreciate
I think everyone would say Rachel's. I think Joe would say
Joe would also
agree. Yeah,
Joe
for sure.
He better
agree. Joe's family would agree.
Yeah.
Poor Joe.
I'm kidding. Rachel's just the best.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And they have a baby now.
Yeah. And yeah, Rachel just had a baby.
I like Leora's the best half.
One. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Leora's the best one.
For brand new baby. What's the latest in the life of Leora?
Well, we didn't know the sex of the baby until she was born, and everything we own has been gender neutral. It's like shades of white and gray and green and yellow, and we just got a shipment of like very aggressively girly clothes.
Nice.
Ooh. We picked it up at Kofix a few days ago. Why do they deliver packages there? I don't know.
So you can get an iced coffee.
That's exactly why. But yeah, we picked it up, and now it's like dress up time all the time. Like lots of little leggings.
When you sent us a little grandma outfit with like a little knit hat.
Oh my God, that was so
that
cute.
We would not pay for that, but I think we inherited that. And then our friend knit us like a really beautiful little sweater, which has just fit. But anyway, we've been playing a lot of dress up. She has a lot of like nice little shirts and leggings and a hat with two pom poms on it, which is super cute.
She is so cute.
So that and not sleeping, that's what we're up to.
My mom, right before she went back to work, I guess got bored. And so what she would do is dress me up in my different outfits and take photos of me. But it's so funny to like see these photos she would take of me where I'm literally like a fat potato on a couch in the outfit, like compared to how people do photo shoots of their babies now, where like it'll be like so cute and like all set up and there's a background, or like, you know, with the ones where the babies are sleeping and they've like built out a whole scene around them or whatever. It's just funny. My mom was like, yeah, I got bored, so I put you in your different outfits. And I was like, these are the ugliest photos I've ever seen.
I don't understand how people do the nice photo shoots, because we tried to do one this morning in an outfit, and like, how do you get the baby to sit up? There are no bones in that child. Yeah. It's just like ragdoll.
Okay,
like,
so you say you're on baby TikTok, but you clearly haven't seen baby photographer TikTok.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, the way that they like maneuver these small children is like, I showed one to Meryl.
It's crazy.
And Meryl was like, I don't like this. Like, I don't like seeing it. Because like
they're like taking their little hand and like tucking them.
They're rubber. They're totally rubber. And
they,
like,
and they know how to, and they know how to like maneuver them to like sit in this, like the tiniest little wrap you've ever seen. So their body is just a perfect circle with a head on top. Like,
oh, it's the same size as the head. Yeah. It's like the head and then the exact
It's great.
I don't get it. We tried to prop her up on the couch and immediately she fell right over. She's all cute, but like heads down by her chest.
Oh, you gotta get like one of those, like what's it, like the picky up things off the ground.
Like the claws?
The claw grabbers.
And you put that at her neck and you get another stick and just like put it on her back.
Is that what people do? Because somebody knows the trick.
Joe dresses up in a white sheet and then sits on the couch.
Yeah, Joe's in like a green screen, like morph suit, so you can just edit him out.
You joke, but that's what they do for passport pictures for babies. They have the parent wear a white shirt or hold a sheet up and the baby sits on the lap because there's no other way to get a passport photo.
I think that's how you should do it. I will invest in a claw for you so you can prop up her neck.
Oh my God.
It's a business venture waiting to happen. It's like Snuggies extended.
Yes.
Yeah.
For baby photos.
Before Shoshana was like, invite us to your Shabbat meals. And now we're going to be like, invite us to photograph your babies. We have no experience.
You can be the star of baby photo TikTok.
Just be only. Me in my morph suit with my claw poking babies into. Yeah, I can do it.
Okay, should we do our pop culture moments?
Introduce ourselves and then names and then... Cool. My name's Shoshana, and I had a pop culture moment, but I forgot it, so I'm going to get my thing back up. My pop culture moment, it's really specific.
Lay it on us.
It's the time Chris O'Dowd swallowed a fly on the Graham Norton show.
What? Mm.
Have you seen this?
Mm-mm. But it sounds delightful. Is
the Chris O'Dowd, who was like probably best known for Bridesmaids. Mm-hmm. He's like the very charming Irish policeman in Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a talk show and it was with Steve Carell and Kristen Wiig. Yes, Kristen Wiig. And there's a huge fly like buzzing around the studio. Like you can see it on screen. Like it's visibly gigantic. And they like swat it away and then they like move on. And then like later in the interview, it's like a 40-minute show, and then like at some point later in the interview, he picks up his, and he's like not even the one talking, takes a sip of water, and you see him, he goes, oh my, he splits it into his hand, and he goes, oh my God. And the fly had been in the water, and he had drunk it, and like chewed it a tiny bit, and then realized it was a fly. And it's just the most, and before with the fly, like that's Steve Carell has told a story of how he knows how to kill flies, so then he like pretends to do the thing. It's just like one of those perfect interview moments of like, I could watch this all day.
YouTube gold.
It is. It's like when you're in a rabbit hole, like that's what you watch to get you into it. It's fantastic.
That's also relevant to the movie we watched.
Rabbit holes?
No.
YouTube?
Swallowing a bug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was horrible. That was
save
so
it.
Gross.
Save it. We're going to talk about it later. Okay. Rachel, do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm Rachel. I also have a list of pop culture moments because this is my favorite part of the podcast.
Do you want to do a couple for us?
I was going to say, you could share us the list because I ran out of those really easily.
I had three, but I think I'm going to go with Kanye West bought a house across the street from Kim Kardashian, which is very creepy, number
Recently?
One. Yeah, like in the last few days. Oh my God. And you know, like you expect celebrities' houses to be like ornate and gorgeous and have pools. And this is a dump.
Oh, no.
It's like a 1950s carpeted one-story ranch, like
wow.
Yeah, anyway, I'm googling
it. Look at I am Kanye West's entirely mediocre house purchase across the street from Kardashian.
Because obviously he can knock it down and rebuild whatever he wants.
You said it's junk. It cost him $4.5 million.
But it's in California. That's like an apartment. But look at it. Okay, I promise you, it might be expensive. Apartments are expensive, or houses are expensive.
Honestly, that's the size of like a big house in Bondi. Yeah, I get it.
But it's like totally mediocre. I saw it and I was like, wow, he really wanted to live near Kim Kardashian. This is nothing to do with the house.
Or his
do you
children.
Like it?
His kids. To his four children.
Four Wait, will you send me a link of the house?
North.
I know that
Saint,
one. Saint. I know that
Chicago,
one.
Chicago.
Don't know that one.
And Psalm.
Psalm? Like.
You like Tehillim.
With a silent
P. I'm going to name my next child Tehillim.
Yes.
Did not know about those last two. Yeah. I stopped following. They got too much for me.
Oh my God. When they were like made this big deal about how the season was ending, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians is ending. And then literally like 2 days later, they were like, and our new show is coming out. I was like, oh, so this is just the same thing.
Okay, so what's really funny is that his kitchen is like very, like all of the cabinets are wood. Mm-hmm. And it looks like my kitchen in my home in Australia. Like, the kitchen, but without the island.
Nice, if I remember.
It's just this all wood.
You look at the rest of it and you're like, this is just like carpet. Kind of a weird carpeted.
But also, he can afford to have it redone.
Oh, he probably will. Right, of course he's going to.
It's a 5-bedroom.
Did you also know he's really into, he has like property, I think like horse ranches or in Wyoming, right?
So when
like
you said, really when you said this. Kanye West house across the road from, I thought you were going with like that rumor that happened once. But I think it was, yeah, like a Wyoming or something. He bought a ranch in like a small town.
Yeah.
But James Charles bought one in the same town and everyone thought that they were an item. And I'm like, God. At what point did just people stop using brain cells? Like, at what point do we just stop with all critical thinking and like...
Honestly, I see a resemblance between James Charles and Kim Kardashian. Like, if Kanye has a type...
Oh,
there's space for 3 horses at his new house.
Yeah, I guess he has. I guess he's into horses too. I don't like. He has multiple ranches in Wyoming.
I think you have to when you're rich. You have to be into horses. Yeah.
I don't know. That's like a very white lady thing.
Double oven.
Kosher.
So I was gonna say that I also saw a TikTok recently.
A very normal looking pool.
I saw a TikTok about Kim.
Finally looking at the photos. Go ahead, Shoshana.
Kim Kardashian, like this. TikTok posited that Kim Kardashian was like always in love with Reggie Bush. Mm-hmm. Like he was her number one and like everything since then has been like, but then you see pictures of Reggie Bush's current wife and it's also this Armenian lady and like looks really, really similar to Kim Kardashian. And everyone's like, Reggie Bush is such like a creep. Like he's clearly got a type. And then someone's like, no, it's not that he married someone who looks like Kim. It's that Kim has plastic made surgery herself. And has made herself look Whoa. Like Reggie Bush's new wife. Who's like a very humble influencer with like 200,000 followers.
Humble I'm like, influencer. I love it.
I'm like invested in this narrative that she has been living her whole life watching him have like a wife and 4 kids. And it's like, this is what her life could have been, which is like just a really lovely, quiet, like, unassuming life with the person that she's like
200,000 follower life.
Like no, like the yeah. person, like the guy she loves, and not just like this absolute media circus.
Oh, that's so sad.
I really like the depth that gives Kim Kardashian in my mind.
Well, and also,
and the absolute insanity of her getting plastic surgery to look like her. Yeah.
But also like the idea that like Kim Kardashian has influenced the way like so many people like dress and act and all of that. And that all of that is her putting on a facade herself is kind of fascinating. That's not her authentic
someone
style.
Someone should write this book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if this isn't true, she should make it true because wow, what a story.
Yeah. Like, that's like a talk show circuit waiting to happen.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I love TikTok.
Okay. I'm going to do mine.
Yes. Yeah. Please do.
I'm Valerie, and my pop culture moment this week is when people used to say "ong." Do you remember that? OMG. Now I have to look it up.
Omg.
Yeah, people used to say it like on Tumblr.
Like the way that people say like "lmao."
Yeah.
Or "lol."
Lol, I've heard. What's
I guess
one?
It.
Oh, so, lmao. Okay.
Lmao. One time, my like this is like in 2008 or 2009. My mom's friend came up to me. And she goes, "Shoshana, what's this Spanish word?" And I was like, "What's Spanish word?" And she goes, Lamal? And I was like, oh, Mrs. Krinsky. No.
I didn't realize this. It's shorthand for on God. Also, it's funny because what came up is what is
O-N-G? Ong? I think it meant like oh my God. People like were
putting O-N-G. O-N-G.
Oh, no, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Never seen that.
I feel like it's something that, but now it's saying that it's on, I just Googled it, and it's on TikTok and Snapchat, but it definitely comes from like
Tumblr days.
Look, I was on Tumblr for a long time. I don't think I ever saw Ong.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's where I started my internet life, and I've
it's
never
not familiar to you. Wow. Okay. Well, great.
Wait, what was it used like for, or how was it used?
I think this is what I think. In my memory, it was just like a reaction to things that was kind of like OMG, but that was like almost like a red message or something. Like just that, like you would post it in like a simple response to something. But I don't know if that's 100% right because now maybe I'm of the TikTok and Snapchat generation.
The internet
you know?
Provideth. Let's see what they say.
It's similar to, this says it's similar to like, I swear to God.
You know, you know what it really was? Someone misspelled OMG in a post and then someone called them out on it and then they made up a meaning for ONG because they were too embarrassed to be like, yeah, it was a typo. M and N are right next to each other on the keyboard.
100%.
That's what it was.
You think so?
100%. That's what that was. On God, that's what that was.
And that's why it's used in the same way as OMG. Okay.
Yeah.
Write in if you've ever used ong.
No one has, because it's not
LMK.
A thing. LMK. This week's parsha.
Yeah, you want to summarize this week's parsha for us?
It's really
we
easy.
Picked a really good one for you, Rachel.
Oh, I'm so flattered to be called in for the weirdest.
We were like,
of the bunch.
Even Michael Hatton in his book is like, this is a weird one.
We were like, which of our friends has a baby?
Yeah,
and it's you.
Not which of your? It wasn't which of our friends has a skin disease.
Which That's of our friends do we think should see a dermatologist?
You call them in. It's just a room with a doctor.
It was like I'm watching
intervention.
Yeah, I'm watching Queer Eye. Like the newest season, and there's the ranch guy who like doesn't shower, and it's like it's because of the pheromones and the ladies like that.
Is this the one that you said doesn't wash his, or they wash his
yeah,
hair?
Yeah, they wash his hair in the episode, brown. And it's brown. Oh. And Tan literally goes, "You're a stinky boy." He's like, "I'm gonna be straight." Like he's like, "No one's ever said anything," and Tan's like, "Cause that's rude, and people are uncomfortable telling people that they stink. But I'm gonna tell you, you're a stinky boy." Like, it's like I love that. Anyway.
Well, and this isn't the first time, but they're like, and you know what we do with stinky boys? We wash their hair. So now I have to go back and see if they when they've done
it's
that
so
in previous
funny.
Seasons.
Anyway, okay. So we're in Parshas Tazria, well into Leviticus. So much and yet so little happens in this week's Parsha. It starts off talking about like laws of, well, it's a continuation of talking about like purity and impurity and like Tahar and tame and things like that. The very first thing is it talks about when a woman gives birth and like how the what she has to do afterwards to become pure again after the impurities of pregnancy and childbirth. And it includes going to a mikvah, and it includes giving a korban because it's an acknowledgement that like this is a life-threatening thing that you've done, and so it's like a thing that you like thinks you've gone through it successfully. And there's different lengths of time, like if it's a girl baby or a boy baby, like how much time after the birth determines like when you can be pure again. Yeah. It's like a whole thing. Anyway, and then we hit Sarat, which is called leprosy, but it's not like the actual, like what we know as leprosy, but like that's just the English term that's used for it. It's a skin disease, but it's also connected to like ritual purity and impurity. And it talks about like if it's a white patch or a pink patch, and if it's on, because it can get onto clothes, and then a Kohen has to like intensely like analyze the patches of skin, and if it's on raw skin, and if it's on inflamed skin, and if it's on burned skin or bald skin or hairy skin, and it's like all these, like why are there so many types of tzara that you can get, and like in the different forms, and this pasuk goes through a bunch of them, and it basically ends with like clothes can also get it. And the Kohen decides if it's pure or impure, then you get put into like quarantine for 7 days, and then they have to judge again if it's pure or impure, if it's gone away. And the person with Sarat has to go outside of the camp or the city, like the settlement, until they're healed. And all of the like parts of, because like the walls of your home can also get Sarat apparently, and so you have to like clean those things, and you have to like destroy the parts. It's just, it's crazy.
That was just foreshadowing when the people come to Israel and their walls get moldy.
Yes.
Bizarre.
Oh my
bizarre
God.
Bizarre experience
oh my God.
In this world.
So someone who goes to Pardes has been like sick for ages and like a recurring illness. And my roommate was like, oh, hey, haven't seen you in a while. Like, how are you feeling? And they were like, oh, it's just mold. I've just had, like, it's been mold this whole time. Like, making me sick.
It's a full-time job to like handle the mold
it's
in an apartment
insane.
During winter.
Yeah.
Here.
Insane.
I have to do it in our bathroom. It's like it's not bad yet, but
it's like bleach and then the mold resistant paint. That's what we've done.
I should probably inspect my apartment.
Last apartment it was really bad, and then I cleaned it once and it made like a huge difference, and it totally like changed.
I should probably like go through my apartment and find the places that there is mold.
Yeah.
There are threads and threads about mold on Secret Jerusalem. The other thing they say is like whenever you're not in a room, open the windows, let it air.
It's like because the buildings aren't insulated here, is that right?
It's just cement.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
like, do you remember that big earthquake in Mexico where all of the buildings that were made of like cement fell down? Because it's like those big iron.
Yeah.
And then just they pack the cement in around it. It's exactly like that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Great. I feel safe.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, sorry.
So
was there more?
No, that's it. Because like what media are we going to watch that deals with childbirth and also skin disease and also ritual impurity?
I'm really surprised that you all went with the childbirth direction, because I feel like there are tons of skin disease horror movies.
So I Googled, I was like, well, I think it touches a bit on both. Like, it touches on Surratt aspects. But also when I Googled, like, movies about, like, skin disease, I came back with Elephant Man. And I was like, I don't want to watch Elephant Man.
That could have been a Seinfeld episode. I feel like there's a Seinfeld episode where there's,
where they,
like,
have a pop culture parsha.
Wish. No, about it, like, somebody with a skin disease that they all visit. Missed your opportunity.
I will admit this on this podcast. I have never seen Seinfeld.
What?
Not a single episode.
Not even the classics?
I've never seen a single episode of Seinfeld. Wow. The only Seinfeld I've seen is when I was watching Friends, and then, like, I didn't change the channel fast enough when Friends ended, and so I'd watch, like, the first 5 minutes and then just turned it off.
That's wild.
Never seen
Seinfeld. Yarden was rewatching it recently, and I was like, oh, I'll watch that with you, and she's like, I don't think you're gonna like it. She was like, it just doesn't really, she's like, you get upset when things aren't, like, feminist, or, like, when they're, like, old, like, you know, in the before times.
And yeah, it's true. Seinfeld, so.
Wow.
Instead, we settled on a horror movie.
Yeah. So we watched
very different
this horror movie that's called Goodnight Mommy. It's in German. It's called Ichse, I-C-I-C.
Yeah.
And in the UK, it's called Goodnight Mummy.
Well, that's what it's called in our masterless podcast.
Cause I know, but when I just Googled it, it came up with Goodnight Mommy on Wikipedia, your favorite website.
Well, because I spell mummy with a U too, and I'm not from England. I'm just from the Commonwealth.
Right, but you're from Australia, which is, like, similar. You have the same.
I thought I was going to offend, like, I thought you were about roast me to my face.
You guys, nobody saw your facial expression, but you were ready.
Shoshana was upset. Okay, it is a 2014 Austrian psychological horror film. It's about a woman who, after undergoing facial surgery, she goes back to her modern, isolated lakeside house. And she has 9-year-old twin sons, Elias and Lucas, who they didn't give new names. That's just what the actors' names are also.
I wonder if it's because, like, they weren't very good actors.
I think they do that sometimes with kids. Where
Like with Will Smith.
Like Zach and Cody.
Well, yeah.
Their names aren't Zach and Cody.
What are their names?
Dylan and Cole.
Oops. You're right. You're right. I just forgot for a second. Another pair of blonde twins. Nope, their names are Zach and Cody. That's canon now. Anyway, the mom's head is swathed in bandages, only her eyes and her mouth are visible, and the twins are unnerved by their mother's appearance and are further taken aback when she begins to exhibit strange behavior. She ignores Lucas and appears to only acknowledge Elias, and though it's the middle of summer, the mother orders the twins to keep the blinds closed and imposes a strict rule of silence inside the house and only allows them to play outdoors. And then she acts cruelly and lashes out at Elias physically when he's mischievous or disobedient. And the boys have conversations that they're like, this isn't like how she used to be. And it goes from there.
Crazy.
Things take a turn.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It is crazy.
Okay. And so, Rachel, was the movie as scary? You were worried that it was going to be, like, too scary.
I was thinking this is not going to be a movie that I'm able to watch at night. I have to watch it in chunks in the morning when it won't come true.
Yeah.
Because anything you watch after 2 p.m. has the potential of coming true.
Yeah.
Actually wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. I really liked it. It was had all the elements, I would say, of what would be a very scary movie, but I found, like, it visually kind of terrifying, but plot-wise, I was onto it at the beginning, I think, and I felt like I wasn't totally shocked,
right?
Which
there's like a big twist at the end of the movie.
I mean,
that
we
you
spoil
find
it
out
a bit later on.
Yeah,
we could spoil it later. Like, sure,
there's the understanding.
Who's gonna see this movie?
Yeah, there's also the understanding of this podcast that just spoilers a lot. I texted Val because I knew she had finished it before me. I like had to watch it making dinner because I was like, I need to be distracted. I need to be distracted. If
y'all
I'm
are
doing
such
something.
Babies.
Okay, well, the other thing happened that yesterday, I got locked in my apartment because our
connection to the movie.
Our lock is old. And so at one point my roommate turns to me and she's like, we're locked inside again. And I was like, oh great. I was about to start watching a horror film. And then what happened was I went to my room because, like, she was on the phone to locksmiths and now landlord, all that stuff. And I was on my bed watching it, and I was like, I'm locked in and I don't want to watch. And then I just napped for 2 hours instead.
Nice.
And then I watched it making dinner.
A little recovery nap.
Yeah. I was like, I'd rather be doing anything, so I'll just sleep. Like, and then that's why I texted Valerie, and I was like, does this happen? And I was correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. It wasn't like, it's not like a screamy kind of scary movie. Like, there's not like any jump scares.
So can I?
It's definitely spooky.
I wanted them to go further. Like, to me, it had all the elements, and I was just like, push it a little more.
Right.
I wanted more of the creepy bandaged face. I wanted, like,
yeah.
They stopped doing that halfway through. And
right.
Just, yeah.
Am I allowed to be a bit of a nerd at the moment?
Yeah.
Please.
So I took one gothic lit class at university.
Bring it on.
Well, no, one of the things that we talked about is that there's a difference between horror and terror. Mm.
We talked about this in our first episode on the podcast.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I can never remember which one is which, because I'm pretty sure horror, because it's also about like feminine gothic and like masculine gothic, but like horror versus terror, one is that like jump scares of like the initial shock of like, I think that's horror. Of like you get like boo and like I'm scared, and then the terror is like the building up of like the suspenseful horror, or the, like the suspense of like I'm about to be scared, and it's like the fear of what's to come, and it's like that the building of foreboding, which is what this movie does really well, right?
For
like
sure.
Every yeah. time you see that woman's face and she like peeks around from behind the corner and like her face is all bandaged, so I'm like, what terrifying. Like what is gonna happen? It's not necessarily yeah. like with a Final Destination type movie, you're going to get like the booze, but this is like the I'm scared of what I cannot see and what I don't know what's going to happen.
100%.
Well, and then there's that, there's just like a lot of like weird things that happen. Like when he goes in at one point, one of the little boys like knocks on the door and goes in, and she's like laying in bed and it looks like she's sleeping. And then he leaves and all of a sudden she's like crunching on something. And then she pulls out from under the blanket, like a cookie or something.
A granola
like,
bar. I thought yeah. that was, I was very confused.
No, so she doesn't want to spend time with him. So she's pretending to be asleep.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think so.
There were a couple of things throughout the movie. I also, that where she, the mother is bandaged and leaves her bandages on, like gets totally naked, takes the bandages off in the forest and like, you know,
that was a dream.
Shaking.
I think that was one of the boys was having a dream.
But there's lots of little moments like that where you're like, what is this in the...
So I think like, I'm just going to spoil it. Okay. Basically the two...
Yeah. Before you spoil it, if you want to watch this movie, we're going to start spoiling now.
Yeah.
From now on. Okay.
Okay. Spoiler is that like there's the two brothers and she's only speaking to one of them.
Right.
And you, if you got caught on, which I think we all did, but like only one... Because a couple of other people appear as well, and they only ever speak to one brother, and it's because the other brother's died,
right.
and it implies there was an accident, and she says like it's not your fault that he died, but he's still seeing this brother,
right?
And so there's like some type of
like, well, and it seems like maybe that's the reason that she got the plastic surgery too, is because she was somehow there was an accident,
yeah,
and she
exactly.
was like disfigured,
and that's also why her like demeanor changed, because one of her sons died, and clearly she like semi blames the other one for it.
Right.
She's trying to make him stop. And he always talks about his brother to the mom, and she's like, you have to stop mentioning your brother. You have to stop talking to your brother.
Yeah.
Because he's having conversations with a dead person.
Right.
And so it's like everything that's weird about her is because she's like very much pulling away. That's why she pretends to be asleep. She doesn't want to hang out with him because like she has all of this trauma connected to him. Mm-hmm. And then is only at the end pleading for her own life, which she's like, I promise, like, it's not your fault.
There are elements of, like, her wanting a fresh start, right? Like, she's getting facial surgery. I think they play a video from, like, a dating profile at the very beginning when they're watching, like, they're zooming in on her color of her eyes.
Right.
And, like, my understanding is that it's also a recent divorce. Like, the father drops off the kids and...
Yeah.
So, like, along with probably, like, the trauma from the accident, it sounds like there's also just a rough relationship that she's coming out of as well.
Okay. And then at the top of the show, you were talking about eating bugs, and there's, like, they have hissing cockroaches, which is, like, also, why would you have that as a pet? That's very upsetting. And at one point, he, like, puts it on her face, and while she's sleeping, and it crawls into her mouth.
Do we think that's real, or do we think that's like another dream moment?
I
or
have
like
no
a,
idea.
So it's like when they cut open her stomach in the dream sequence and the bugs crawl out of it.
Right.
Horrible. Okay, so one of my things that I talk about in the notes, all children in like horror movies are blonde. Blonde children are also terrifying. And the only thing that I could think about the entire time watching it is this episode of The Simpsons where there's a town curfew, and they're like watching, they go to a drive-in and they're watching this movie called The Bloodening, which is a take on Village of the Damned. I don't know if I watched Village of the Damned because of The Simpsons episode.
Nice.
It's like a horror movie, like these like possessed children, like an actual scary horror movie, but these like the blonde children, their eyes glow. And there's this line in The Simpsons that like cracks me up, and it's like, "We know all your secrets." And so every time these like blonde boys are running around on the screen, in my head, it's just like, now you're thinking, how did they know that? And now you're thinking, I hope that's chocolate pie in my knickers. it's like The Simpsons is on repeat in my head.
It's like, it is creepy, the like two little boys, and like they're wearing their little tank tops, and their denim, their long denim shorts are just like so German, and the Crocs. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. But there, and there's something creepy about the fact that like, is this okay to say, of that like age of child where they're like too large to be a child anymore, but they're also like not an adult. And so like, there's kind of this weird, like you can see that like, they're like, starting, they like are fit, like they kind of have some little muscles, but then they're like these 9-year-old boys. I don't know.
It's also just like the idea of like twins as a recurring theme in horror in general. Like I'm thinking The Shining, the absolutely most classic example. But again, back to my one class in Gothic Lit, like the idea of the doppelganger is like a terrifying thing of like these specters that like look exactly like you, but like there's something otherworldly or like unhuman about them. And like this is the most classic example of that, of like, you know, he's imagining his brother, like, and it's always the dead brother who's like telling him to do bad things, right? So it's like, I'm assuming hinting towards mental illness. Like it's not like, it's not that the brother's a ghost, it's that it's like when they've got the mother tied up in the room, he is about to let her go, and then the brother like appears behind him and says like, "What are you doing? Keep her."
Yeah,
I love that shot. It was the first time where you really felt like they weren't in a scene together. Like the brother really just sort of appeared out of nowhere, stepped out from behind him.
And the I think it was the scene just before that, or like maybe just after that, where they're in the bathroom talking to each other, and you can only see one brother on the screen, and you can see his reflection in the mirror, and the other brother's like off screen, and they talk. And that's when you also get this idea of like,
the movie's beautifully shot.
Just kept thinking, gorgeous,
totally gorgeous.
But how how does it connect to the Parsha, though?
Oh, how does it connect to the Parsha? Great question. Well, so obviously we talk about, like, the isolation of somebody who has Tzara'at and, like, that they have to live outside of the city. And this is also, like, kind of set in this isolated area. There's also, like, something that you didn't put on our sheet is that you, like, have to have a priest, like, check you, right? Like, a Kohen has to check you. And they, at one point, the two boys, but I guess the one boy goes into town because he's like, they want to like report that their mother isn't their mother anymore. And so he like goes, he ends up going to the priest, who then like drives him back home, which is like a little weird also, but I guess the priest must like know what's up.
Or he like talks to the mother and he's like, what's going on?
Yeah. And that's when you kind of find out that there was an accident and some other things.
But also just like, these kids live isolated, like on a, you know, recluse, like reclusive property. They don't see other people.
Right.
They mentioned in one scene they used to go to school in Vienna, and now they don't. And they're in like this like tiny town. And when they're walking in the town together, it's empty. It's a ghost town until they get to the church.
Yeah.
And just sort of like what that does to a person. Like I understand, like obviously we live in the time of like COVID. We understand the point of Bidud and quarantining yourself when you're sick, but like to be ill in some way, like to have Tzara'at and then to be forced to leave your home and be by yourself for 7 days, you don't have a phone, I don't know, they didn't have the printing press, they don't have books, right? I'm like, so what are you gonna do for like 7 days, like on top of the physical ailment you have that we've also now identified it has some type of spiritual aspect of like purity and impurity. And on top of that, you're like isolated and like what that does mentally to a person, I think is crazy. And that's why isolation is always used in like horror films, because people go nuts.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you might have to like destroy your house if the, like your house still has Tzara'at and like all of your clothes.
Yeah.
Man, it's messed up.
I was thinking somebody recently said to me, she was like, I actually wouldn't mind another B dude. Like another like time. Countrywide shutdown.
Couldn't handle it. I can't learn on Zoom again.
No, definitely not. No. And then the other reason that we watched this movie and the reason that we brought Rachel on, besides that Rachel has incredible pop culture knowledge. And
well, also I will say, if before we go to the childbirth thing, with Sarah, the other thing of like the intense scrutinizing of one's body and like the Cohen comes in and like stares you down and like inspects the skin that is like horrid or bad. And then these boys, like, first of all, like just the wrapped head in general of like right. Clearly she's got something going on. But also, like, them, like, so, like, looking so close. Like, she has a
mole.
A mole that she drew on. Because she says, like, that it got, they had to remove it in the hospital because it was, like, cancerous or something.
But why, that, I just, I get mad at moments like that. Yeah. I was like, but then why did you draw it on? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Well, and then they bring out the photo because then they're trying to say, like, who's this woman who you're dressed exactly like?
Yeah.
And then it's like, in that moment, I was like, oh, it's going to be her twin sister has, like, taken the role of the mother. But she's like, it's just a friend. We just used to dress alike. Like,
At that moment, I thought maybe I had gotten the plot of this movie wrong. And there was going to be some weird twin mom thing, twin kid thing. And this is going to go in a whole different direction. Yeah. But they dropped me and it just sort of, like, fizzled out as a line, right? It was a friend. And
yeah. But that's, I think it's the same moment where they're like, because, and then at one point they're like, show us your birthmark.
Yeah.
When she has the bandages on her face.
And like with the eye color, like they're convinced she has blue eyes, but then she doesn't. It's all of these different things together. That's what, anyway. And then there was the other aspect of it, which was why we brought Rachel here.
So the danger of childbirth. And this is Shoshana wrote this. Nobody tells you about how kids will tie you to a bed and torture you.
I mean, like,
quite literally.
No one tells you how like dangerous kids can be.
For sure.
They can murder you. They can think that you're a doppelganger.
When my brother and I were younger, one time we like thought it would be so funny. We had a babysitter who liked to crochet, and we were like, her name was also Rachel. And we were like, Rachel, wouldn't it be funny if we tied you up? And then our mom came home and like the babysitter is tied up. And so she like let us like tie her to a chair.
And she's like, whatever keeps them occupied.
You're like, you're right. That is hilarious.
She was like, oh, I get to sit in a chair while you do this. Fine. Whatever. Yeah. And then she comes in and I just remember being in the other room and my mom walking in and being like, what's going on? And Rachel being like, the kids tied me to a chair.
So I have the same story, but not the same. Which is that I have one older brother. Mm-hmm. He's 2.5 years older than me. And I, like any younger sister, was like always obsessed and wanted to play with him and his friends. That manifested in them like tying me to the clothesline or like handcuffing me to a chair in my room. Like, you're the robber, we're the cops, I got to tie you up.
Oh,
like,
Shoshana.
And it was just me being like, I'm playing. Like tied outside.
By yourself. Yeah. Oh my God.
Aww.
So the same, but different.
That's really funny.
Rachel, how did you feel about this film and about
having a child?
No. Especially as your baby, no offense, she can't do anything right now. She's a month old.
But she does keep you like tied to like, there are days where I'm like, I've been sitting in this chair, like feeding this thing on and off for 4 hours. I can't like, I'm literally pinned down. I'm trapped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not like tied to the bed and have my lips glued shut. Right. But
oh my God.
And then they like cut it and open,
and they nicked her mouth when they were cutting it open.
But they made her a frozen pepperoni pizza and brought it to her. Like, I know, I'll just like cut her lips open again to give her this pizza.
And then she woke up and her eyes were glued shut. Oh my God, this movie was whacked.
Yeah, her whole body was super glued to the floor. So no, I'm not super glued to a chair, but a baby sure does keep you in one place for long periods of time.
Okay, I have two questions. Mm-hmm. One. Would you forgive your child for this act? If you were in this movie and like, so spoiler alert, but like you survive, unlike the people maybe in this movie, would you forgive your child?
I actually had I don't know if you've, like I had thoughts of those stories you hear about parents who are like, my child is literally a sociopath. And like, what do you do? Cause it's like chemical. It's like biological. It's nothing. It's not nurture versus nature. Like it's very much nature. And parents are like, I don't know what to do with my child who I like very clearly know will cause damage in the future. And I sort of had that thought watching the movie. Like,
what would you do?
This mother's probably like, I don't know, what do? You like send them away? Do you like put them in an institution? I don't, for her, she moved to a very isolated location in the middle of Austria, but.
So you didn't reach a conclusion. No. Did you ask Joe what he would do?
No. I didn't even, Joe was, I, you know. Just sleeping, and I was like watching this terrifying movie on and off this
like,
morning.
Because I feel like parents have certain plans in place, right? Like, you guys probably discuss what you're comfortable with, like people like holding the baby and people like wearing masks around the baby. Yeah. But I'm like, do you have a contingency plan in place? Like, what if our child is a mass murderer or like shows evil murderous tendencies? Mm. I think parents should have that discussion.
In America, where school shootings are
I wasn't even thinking. I was just like, have you seen like there's all of those movies that I've seen a bunch, like. There's one with Sam Rockwell of like the mother's convinced that her son is like evil and is like trying to kill her, and no one else believes it until like the very end. The little boy says something to the uncle and is like, now you can take care of me, because like the mum's like gone away. Whoa. And he realizes
that's
that his
creepy.
So it's like, what happens when like you're the only one who sees those tendencies, you know what I mean? Like, would you even tell Joe? Would you be like, I think our child's evil? And he'd be like, no.
I'm not even wishing this upon him.
You got a plan for these things.
No, we totally don't have a plan. And now I'm second guessing everything. I should Google it and be like, what do parents do when?
I don't think Leora's going to be evil.
I hope not.
I think she's going to be fantastic.
Light our house on fire. Oh my God.
No, she's not going to do that. Her name is Leora.
True.
Wow, dark.
We brought it upon ourselves.
She'll be fine.
Yeah,
you guys
will
be fine.
She'll be fine. She doesn't have a twin, so we're good.
This won't be used as evidence in 20 years.
Yeah. Colin Pardes is a witness.
Oh my gosh.
All of Pardes. Definitely I found the scene where he cuts. Okay. Wait, we skipped over a big part of this that I found disturbing, of the cat.
What's up with the cat?
Would you call it the sad cat subplot?
Yeah, the sad cat subplot. Yeah. I was not warned about it. They find the stray cat in what?
Like a catacomb?
Yeah.
Like some sort of burial.
There's all these bones.
That's what you do when you're in Bidude. You go on walks and you discover things.
You find
no
bones.
Place for a cat or a child. Actually, one of my friends, you know, in Paris, you can like go, they have like the catacombs that you can visit, but you can also go down like below the city. Like some people do like you're not supposed to, but some people do like guided tours down there. And one of my friends did it and she said it was super cool. But that's, it's just like they've just thrown all these bones in this room. They find a cat, they bring the cat in, and then all of a sudden they like lose the cat. And then they find it and it's sick. And then they fill a fish tank with water and they put the cat in the water.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was so weird. And then then the mom goes and gets all the hissing cockroaches and starts dumping them in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very strange.
I don't even know if it's water, right? Because at the end, they light it all on fire. It's like, is it gasoline? Is it, it's...
Or it's like preserve, like...
Formaldehyde? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
anyway,
like
it was very upsetting.
Every time the cat came on screen, I sort of like started watching it through my fingers because I didn't know what was going to happen.
The minute I saw it, I was like, oh no, Val is going to hate this.
It was very upsetting.
Oh, I wasn't thinking about
like
Val. I was thinking about myself. I don't want to get scared.
Wow, thanks, Shoshana. I'm a mother too.
cat mom life.
What would you do if one of your cats turned out to be evil?
I think Zati is a little evil.
Fair.
But... since she's lost weight,
she's lost a little weight.
She has lost weight. She's been on a diet, and I think her personality has changed. Like, I think she's happier now that she's thinner. It was really funny. She does this thing where she like flops down on the ground.
Yikes. What a lesson.
You're gonna get us
like,
canceled, this cat.
Listen, this is just for Zati. It's not a reflection on like people have different relationships with food and bodies and whatever. Yarden is very concerned about Zati being on this diet, and she's like, "You're fat shaming her," and I'm like, "She's a cat. Like she, we need to exercise
hey,
Vora."
Is Zati the one that's out and about, and Tsum Tsum just hides?
Tsum Tsum is hides, yeah. Okay. And yeah, although the vet said both of them could lose some weight. So.
Which one tried to befriend me?
Sumi.
Oh.
The sweet one. Yeah.
Lucky.
But Shoshana, it was actually so sad. Sumi was like laying on the couch, just like gazing up at Shoshana, and even like
she was like reaching out her paws to Shoshana, like she really wanted Shoshana to pet her, and Shoshana like wouldn't touch her.
I'm allergic to cats.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I would. I'm like a bitch. I'm still. I'm a bitch, but I'm also allergic to cats.
But Sumi doesn't know you're allergic to cats.
Well, I tried to explain it, and she's a cat, so I don't think she understood.
I told her, I was like, listen, you're gonna make yourself vulnerable for people sometimes, and they're not always gonna be ready to accept that vulnerability. It's not about you.
Do you remember, Val, we had a friend who had a baby last year, and we were at a Shabbat lunch, and the baby was, like, on the floor. And you were like, here, like, the cat will do fine. They were like,
Yeah, I do remember. What was
like, funny, no, it'll be fine.
I was at one point, like, Tali was like, well, how do you think the cats will react to being around the baby? And I was like, I don't know. They've never met a baby before. And then there was one moment where, like, Tali's holding the baby, and Zati and the baby and Zati are looking at each other, and then like the baby reaches out her hand and Zati reaches out her paw, and Tali's like, nope, we're
yeah
done.
Just like scoops the baby right up. We were all like, I don't know about this, and you were like, no, it's fine, we'll see
you're
what
like,
happens.
You're like, babies are playing together,
it'll be great.
Yeah, we had somebody else come over who has a two-year-old, and then of course the two-year-old was like following the cats around, and then Zati like did what, how I always explain it to children is, I'm like, she's telling you that she doesn't want you to touch her, like, and that's fine, and whatever. And so the cat did, and the dad had been like, if that cat scratches my child, like, it's over. But then, and then she did at one point like swipe at, like, Zati yeah. swiped at the baby, and like, and she was like a little bit upset about it, and I was like, it's okay, like, she does it to me too. And I was showing her like Zati had scratched me like much worse, and so then I'm like, and that like for some reason was the thing, and I was like, yeah, it's fine, like, cats do that sometimes, like, it doesn't mean they're mean, they just like don't, they need a break, you know. Anyway, it was just like pretty funny.
Yeah, for me, like, the biggest thing was just like burn sacrifice, like the, oh, that's the really house funny. Went up in flames, yeah. Like, I was like, this is the connection here,
like the one. Yeah, like a Corbin.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, like, having kids is dangerous, and she proved it by being murdered by her children.
Wow.
She was the sacrifice.
I wonder what the accident was.
Oh, I think it was the drowning, right? Like, at the scene at the very beginning where her, the brother, I assumed it was drowning.
Oh.
But there's a scene where one brother is floating on like a raft in the lake, yeah. And like calling out for the other brother, and you see some like light bubbles under the water. I think it cuts away, but I just assumed that was like in the like alluded to.
Right.
I was wondering about
one
that.
Of the twins drowning.
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe not. I could be really wrong.
No, that makes sense.
I don't know if that would make sense, because I also in my head they moved to this isolated area where the lake was. Because of the accident, so maybe it.
Well, maybe it's that they already lived there, like that's where the mum moved after the divorce, and so she lived there.
Right, they had this like country house,
and they lived with the dad part of the time.
Ah, yeah, that could make sense.
Yeah,
well, it sounds like they went to a boarding school as well.
Yeah,
so
like
I don't know.
There are pieces of this movie where you're like trying to fill in gaps and like piece it together, which makes it interesting.
Yeah,
it's scary. I was scared.
What was I going to say? I thought that besides the cat scene, the scariest part is definitely when they're, like, cutting her lips back open after they've super glued them together. Yeah.
For me, it was, like, any moment that you saw the bandaged mother sort of just, like, turn and stare. Like, in a really sort of...
I hated that. You know, she, like, kept popping out of places. I was like, I'm like that.
That, to me, was, like... I wish they leaned into that, because they could have, like, milked that for a lot longer.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, like, the scene where she's running... like, when it's the dream sequence, but, like, she's running, like, naked, and then starts taking off... And I just kept going, oh, no. I was like, no. Please don't... Like, no, don't do that. Like, I did not like that.
Also, the magnifying glass when they're burning her face.
Oh, horrible. Chekhov's magnifying
glass. How old do you think this child was?
They were like 8 or 9.
I think they're supposed to be 9.
Like, they had some tactics in their pockets for torture. I was like, where did they learn this? I don't know developmentally where kids at are 9, but I was just...
Developmentally, where they pick up torture devices?
You know, like, I think I'll just burn my mother's face with my magnifying glass or super glue her to the floor.
Well, the other thing is, like...
Also, magnifying have super glue for that.
That's a lot of super glue. They come in very tiny tubes.
Yeah.
The magnifying glass, I feel like, made more sense. I don't know, like, it's like sort of like a trip, like, you know, boys setting ads on fire.
It definitely is.
Like the ant bully, isn't that what that's?
Yeah.
Anyway, but
they had the bow and arrow. That was the.
So the mask they kept wearing.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
That was also very creepy.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, very strange. It was a strange movie.
You know what else is a strange movie? I saw Licorice Pizza.
Oh, how was?
It was so weird.
Was it?
It was like such an absurd little movie where like nothing made sense. Like, just like so disjointed, like none of the plots made sense. But like, it was great to watch.
I was going to say, in a good way?
Yeah. Like, when I walked out, we're like, what the hell was that? I don't know what, but like, I liked it. Like, it was.
Interesting. Yeah. You know what movie I also just watched recently that didn't make sense? 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I think I say Cheaper by the Dozen.
Cheaper
by the Dozen, the old one or the new one? You the both one. Have a thing one. With the new versions, the when new really the old versions are the best versions.
Did you?
Parent Trap? No, I'm sorry. Lindsay Lohan's Supremacy.
I mean, it was fantastic, but like the old one's such a classic.
Yeah.
Same with Cheaper by the Dozen. So good.
Who's in the old Cheaper by the Dozen?
Oh, I don't even know. We used to watch it as kids.
I did not.
I actually thought about that Parent Trap episode because I was like, these are copy and paste twins.
Someone sent me, there's a set of twins who like dance on, who do dances on TikTok. I mean, there are many twins
The girls from the UK.
Yeah, and somebody was like, they always remind me of you. And she was like, and therefore I think you should be a twin. And I was like, I have felt that I always have twin energy.
No, you have the type of energy of like, I absorbed my twin in the womb. you're like, I could never share the spotlight with a twin.
I will eat you.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing. I would eat my twin in a minute. If I had a twin right now.
And then do a TikTok dance.
Yeah, and then do a TikTok dance. Like my sister and I, you know, from Chicago.
I got nothing.
You know that scene where she does, my sister and I were headed straight for the top. My sister and I had an act that couldn't be stopped. And then she'd be like, and I'd like, and then she does this whole dance number where she'd like, and
who
I.
Who does?
Da, 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 da.
What are we talking about?
It's in Chicago, isn't it?
Oh, in Chicago. I thought you meant literally like in Chicago.
No. When did you go to Chicago? I was so what you look like?
Who are in the musical Chicago. And she goes, and I'd, and then there's like a little riff where it's like, do, 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 do. And then it'd be like, and then she'd, do, 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 do. And
now
it's
like, I know what we're talking about.
But I simply cannot do it alone. No.
I do know what we're talking about now that I like placed us not in the city but in the musical.
Yeah, play my favorite game right now, which is they did Chicago songs on Glee.
Mm-hmm.
But one time, one of the ones they did was they had a story. It was crazy. They had a story about like domestic violence, and then the girls made fun of domestic violence, and they were like, "This is something very serious. You have to find a song that will teach you about domestic violence and why it's a serious thing."
What song?
I agree. Domestic violence is very serious. But
so then they do the Chicago song.
So then they do He Had It Coming.
I love that song.
And then the teacher was like, "You did not understand the assignment. That's not what this was about."
That's fantastic.
And then they sang afterwards, "Shake It Off," but like Shake It Out, the Florence and the Machine version. But just when they sang He Had It Coming for this poor, poor woman who was getting beaten by her husband.
Yeah.
Glee was wild. Glee was.
You're the only one who cares about Glee.
I love. That's first of all, that's not true.
There's a large following of this podcast.
Is not true.
In this room?
In this room, one third of people. That's a big.
33%
of people in this room.
I'm pretty invested in the Glee compare. Like, you always.
Bring up
like that's what I follow. Game. You're like, did you know that this character sang this song in Glee on this episode? That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I can
not
do
the
it.
Actual show.
Like we were on your roof at the sukkah party, and every time a song came up, I like called out from across the roof. I was like, "Hey Rachel, they sang this on Glee."
That's the type of like DJing and emceeing we need at like big simchas. We need like a wedding to be like, and the song was on this episode of Glee.
Coming up, we've got Finn singing to Rachel. I could do it. I could. Maybe that's what I should do with my life. Just talk about Glee.
Yeah.
Is there a Glee podcast out there? You could start
there's so many.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Then you shouldn't. The market's crowded.
One of the best ones is the person who plays Artie on the show and the person who plays Tina have a podcast together.
Oh, yeah.
And they rework the podcast to just be them like rewatching Glee together, and they'd bring in people who are on the show to watch with them.
You've talked about to me about
this. You should do that for an episode. You should live watch one of your pop culture. Glee? Find an episode that relates to Leviticus.
I'm on it.
I'm shocked we haven't watched a Glee episode yet.
You did Gilmore Girls, right?
We did one Gilmore Girls episode. Yeah. It is my mission.
I sat through Gilmore Girls.
Like I said, I'm a little behind since having a baby.
It's excusable. We'll let it go this time.
This one time.
Okay. Should we do some casting?
Yeah, but how do we want to play the game? Because there's no one in this part of the show. Like,
there's,
let's just cast who do you see in Hollywood? I was like, if this was an American movie.
I was like, who would you see, like, what actor would play someone with Sarah well? Hmm. Like, what actor would do, like, a good skin disease, a good, like, going crazy in isolation?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Spiritual. Nice.
Ooh. He already is, like, halfway there.
Joaquin Phoenix having Sarah was not on my 2022 prediction list, but this time.
There you go.
Or, like, who would you cast these small children?
Who would I want these children to be in?
Yes.
I was thinking, what are our own sons' names? Nadav and...
Avihu.
And what?
Avihu.
Avihu. Yeah, I feel like I could see them. Nice. Like, obviously they would be older.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that could work.
That's nice.
Yeah. Up to you. How do you want to play this casting game?
Well, I was thinking I would play the same way. I would do, which is a bit of a twist, I'd do either Avraham and Lot or Avraham and Yitzchak, because there's lots of midrashim of how they looked very, very similar. And there's also all this thing about, like, Avraham, I think, is the first person who, like, aged and, like, got old and looked old. And it says, like, Avraham, like, he was old in his days. And so, ostensibly, you've got the twins who look exactly the same, but one's, like, 30 years older or 100 years older than the other one, but they just look the same.
Interesting.
Benjamin Button, one twin. Just, like, gets younger and one gets older.
Ooh, spooky. Well, the interesting thing with Avraham and Lot is that, like, I'm pretty sure the midrash is that it was bad because, well, first of all, they looked the same.
Mm-hmm.
And Lot assumed that he was inheriting Avraham's, like, dynasty. And when Lot did bad things, people might have thought that Avraham was doing the bad things because, like, they looked the same. And then the same with Yitzchak and Avraham. Like, Avraham aged so that there was a discernible difference between him and Yitzchak.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There is the scene where they, like, the one twin cuts his hair so that he looks like the other twin.
That was the moment I was like, this feels like the Parent Trap.
Yes. I was
like, put this in a summer camp and it's the same.
I want to see, like, this movie made into, like, a comedy. I want, like, Tia and Tamara to play the twins.
That's really funny.
Or, like...
Oh, Tia and Tamara have the same names in the show.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But I knew there was one. Cody don't.
No.
This, like, the Wikipedia suggests that the hallucination is from dissociative identity disorder, which used to be called multiple personality disorder, and something else called, I'm going to be saying this wrong because it's a French psychiatrist, but Capgras, C-A-P-G-R-A-S, like Capgras or whatever it is. It's called Capgras delusion, in which a person holds a delusion that a friend, spouse, parent, or other close family member has been replaced by an identical imposter.
Oh, interesting. Hmm.
So there's, like, the two different things that this
child
is.
Click through to that wiki page.
I'm on it. It's crazy. Classified as a delusional misidentification syndrome. It's also, like, I don't know, I feel like I've seen it on Grey's Anatomy, of, like, people who think that, like, the other people are, like, alien imposters.
Yeah. There was a Netflix series a while ago where it was, like, a mini series, or it was, like, the Paul Rudd one?
No, that's completely different.
No, but it was, like, true crime, and they did a series of true crime, and you're like, oh, this is pretty standard, like, person murdered randomly, or, like, this unsolved mystery, and then random episode in the series was the stories of people in this one town.
Yeah, it was an unsolved mystery.
Yes, unsolved mysteries, that's what it was called, and they were all, like, murder, true crime, and then one episode was that everybody in this town, they, like, interviewed dozens of people who all were convinced and, like, 100% believed they were abducted by aliens. And they, like,
That's like
crazy.
Yeah, it's no, you have to watch it. It's wild. The best part is one of the guys is like, the experience was so intense for me that I had to paint it. And he painted, it literally looks like a 5-year-old painted it. It's literally just like a beam of light and like a person. He's like, see? And it's like, it's so funny. But yeah, it's crazy because they all had these similar experiences and people who hadn't met, like remembered seeing each other.
And
like
wake
in
up in
ship.
Different places. Like that's what reminded me when you said your brother woke up and was coming to see time travel. That's people crazy. Would be like, I was here and then I woke up and I was in my car in a different location.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Right, like they had switched places.
I just like start driving and then forget to pay attention. And like, I'm but driving by like muscle memory of like knowing the streets. And then I'm like, I'm home already.
But this was like the people like switched. Like the grandma was all of a sudden sitting in the driver's seat and they were like, and she never drove. There's like no reason that she would have been except that like.
Really careless aliens. Really careless.
It's crazy. You should watch it. It's the, Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix.
I used to watch on YouTube. What are they called? Oh my god!
You look it up.
Oh, BuzzFeed Unsolved. BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I used to love that because they used to do true crime ones of like this crime has never been solved, but then also like spooky ones.
Yeah.
One of the unsolved mysteries. You remember it was at a hotel in Baltimore and somebody fell through the roof.
Yes.
That was where we got married.
Oh, that's crazy!
At the Belvedere Hotel in Baltimore.
Wow.
I was watching it and was like, I did not know this. Send that out to everyone who was at
their
wedding.
Yeah, there are like a lot of ones where like people have disappeared under mysterious circumstances. Or isn't there one where like this French family is like murder? It's like they all like disappear or
they're
all murdered. They all turn
found
murdered.
In their, like under their house or something.
Yeah,
right?
And the dad has disappeared, but it's like they seemed like a happy family and like
Yeah, and they're searching all through like the French and Swiss Alps for that.
Wow. There's also there was a second season of the Netflix ones, and one of the episodes was there was a tsunami in Japan, and then all these people who had like experiences like with like ghosts or like people who had been killed in the tsunami.
I did not see that one.
Yeah,
I should rewatch.
Yeah, there was another. They like released another season that was only like 4 episodes.
You should watch watch BuzzFeed Unsolved. Like
on YouTube.
Yeah.
You said? Okay.
It's like, I think they have their own channel now, but all the episodes, like, they're really interesting. And it's just like the guys do it together, have like a really good rapport. Because then they do like the extraterrestrial type and like the ghost type, and then they do the murder mystery type. And one of them is like convinced that like Ryan is like ghosts could definitely exist, like aliens could definitely exist. And the other guy, Shane, is like, no, like, don't be. Like, they'll like go, they started doing those things like, when the show got bigger, like they'd go to like a haunted, like an abandoned hospital, like together. Overnight, like try and find ghosts. And Ryan's like shitting his pants scared. And Shane's like, hello, if you're a ghost, come fight me. like egging on the supernatural. I was going to say that there's like the one Australian mystery there is. Mm-hmm. There's actually a couple, but there's like the one really famous one. It was like in the 40s, this guy washed up on the beach with like absolutely no... like nothing, but like he was like in a suit or like had a tie and a briefcase, and there was like nothing in the briefcase. Well, there was a book. It was like a whole thing, but there was a phrase written in Persian called, it was like Tamanshud or something, and they don't know what it was, and they just think he was like a Cold War spy, but like literally no one knows what the hell it was.
Wow.
All of our mysteries have to do with water. Like we had a prime minister who just like straight up went missing at sea.
Wow.
What about
Harold Holt? He like literally went swimming and got lost, and everyone's like, did the Chinese take him? Was he a spy? Did he get into a submarine? He's like, he just probably got caught in a current and died. Like his body got washed away.
Sorry to keep it
simple. What about the dingoes ate my baby?
Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it's we should probably stop.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Crazy
what
movie.
A movie.
What a time to be alive.
Great pick, Shoshana.
Thank you, Austria.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks for having
me. For coming
me.
And chatting with us.
I hope my daughter doesn't sprinkle me to the floor and light her house on fire. We've got a couple more years.
Yeah.
Before she has the fine motor skills to grip
A her
thing
pincer
of glue.
Grasp. We'll see.
Leora, if you're listening to this in the future.
We hope it's not from prison.
Yeah.
Me too. I hope that.
Okay.
Alrighty, bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.